Blog Talk Radio.
Today's lesson is going to be on chapter 6, and we're going to talk about how judgment and the detachment from judgment affects our experience of reality. I'm going to try to get through this lesson in today, but I really have a strong feeling that we're going to carry it over until tomorrow. I really want you to get this lesson. So, I'm waiting for Dr. Reggie to log in.
Pre-log in.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear
I'm already logged in.
All righty.
Yeah.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. I thought you said chapter 6. I thought we were in chapter 26.
Chapter 26. Did I say
you
chapter
said chapter 6.
I'm so sorry. We're in chapter 26, beginning at page 249.
Yeah, I was logged on. I heard you.
You certainly were. Thank you so much for catching that, Dr. Reggie. Will you take us into our morning prayer?
Absolutely. Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you for a glorious Tuesday morning, a glorious day in which we rise and give thanks in and unto you for making us who we are in our ascension, in our prayer life, in our daily walk with everything that we are. As children of the Most High, we are to act as though we are royalty and to believe that nothing is lacking, that everything is supplied, that we walk in divine health and divine knowing and divine thinking and divine action because we are divine in nature and nothing less and nothing else is expected of us. As we roam the planet and the universe, we know that you are with us in every space that we are. There is no place that you are not. And we thank you, no matter how grim the night looks, no matter how bleak the prospect, we always come out victorious because we know in our hearts that you are us and we are love. Let us always act accordingly in our actions, in our behavior, in our thinking, and most of all with the power that runs the universe, the power of love. We are love in action and in physical form, always becoming. We believe it is so, and so it is.
Thank you so much, Dr. Reggie. And so it is. You know, Dr. Reggie's prayer is so powerful because what he is declaring for us is our awareness of our divinity at all times, moment by moment. And what that means, what is your divinity? What does that mean to you? And moving into that awareness. Oneness says that the sum total of all that you are, all that you perceive, and all that you do is a manifestation of energy. And it's energy that is experienced and expressed as physical form, as matter. It's only experienced and expressed as physical form. But at its root, it's energy. So, would you not say that your divinity is energy? Just think about that for a moment and breathe on it. The degree to which your perceptions parallel the expansion process is determined by the degree to which you are able to surrender to the reality of what is transpiring within you. The reality that there is a divine energy within you. You have to surrender to that reality, that truth, that understanding. It is indeed possible to retain the illusions that keep you rooted in a perpetual state of separation, and to perceive the structure of the world if your comfort level requires it. And there are many who will continue to function as living relics of a level of beingness from which they have ascended energetically out of conditioning alone for some time to come. Did you guys ever watch the movie The Matrix? I'm not going to go into what the whole movie is about, but basically there is a reality that you can choose in the Matrix to see what really is, or you can continue to live in a world of deception. The world of deception was the way we live right now. The world to see what really is, it's like the underbelly of it. And in this particular movie, they illustrated it as a software program that was controlling everything, and everybody was participating in that program, so that there was actually a virtual world that was created that simulated what we call our reality now. And there's a line in the movie. There's a guy that has taken the pill to come out of the virtual world and live and discover the Matrix and move through the Matrix. And he basically sells his soul, in a sense, to go back into the virtual world. And he has a line where he says, "I know that this state," he's sitting at a dinner table, "I know that this steak isn't really real, but I sure as hell enjoy it." Something to that effect. He knew what he was doing wasn't real, but he enjoyed it so much. It was worth making the sacrifice for that joy. So when they talk about you being, because you have been so conditioned by this world, you may choose to just continue to live in this illusion. And guess what? It's okay. There's no judgment here. It's okay. But I'm just trying to break down to you what it means. It is indeed possible to retain the illusion of this physical world and keep you rooted in the perpetual state of separation, meaning that you will not acknowledge your divinity. You will think that that which we call God is separate from you. You're not even aware of that divine energy within you because you're so caught up in this physical world. You may choose to do that if it gives you a comfort level. But you have to understand that energetically, this planet has gone to another level. And in some sense, the way the Christians say it, you're going to be left behind. And that's not to place a fear in you. It's just to say you have a choice. In the Matrix, there was a red pill and a blue pill. And I can't remember which one revealed to you the Matrix and which one kept you in the virtual world. But you have a red pill and a blue pill in front of you. And which one will you choose? Do you choose to see who you really are? Or do you choose to continue to live in the illusion? Either one is okay, because it's whatever you're ready to to receive, to perceive. And in your own time, you will move and you will ascend. So it's okay which one you choose. I'm just letting you know today that you have a choice. As you begin to make your peace with the reality of the changes that you embody, it becomes less of a question of if so much as to what degree these changes are able to be assimilated and are allowed to express through you as identity. And the shifts, in many cases, they may impact individuals in such dramatic ways as to make them virtually unrecognizable to others who believe that they knew them well. Indeed, these ones metamorphosize in ways that distance them from everything that once formed the basis of their perception of themselves, and often within the expanded parameters of the newfound identity. The trappings of the old create a level of discomfort that feels intolerable, and the compulsion to shed one's former identity, like an outgrown skin, becomes undeniable. If you choose today to be aware of your divinity, to be aware of your oneness, then you become a new creature. That's what they're saying. When your mind is transformed, you become a new creature. And there's no going back. And what happens? Old friends, people you thought you would never be separated from, you find yourself wanting to move away. And guess what? All of this is a shift in energy. We'll go back to our beginning lesson here that says what? The sum total of all that you are and all that you perceive, your perception, and all that you do is a manifestation of energy. Hold on to that thought. Hold on to that truth principle, a manifestation of energy. Okay, so these people are moving out of our lives. Why? Because one emerges in self-awareness throughout the process. You are discovering who you are throughout this process. And as layers are revealed and integrated into one's composite of self-definition, the portrait is not one that is completed instantly, but it reveals itself gradually, just one shade of coloration at a time. And one may personify a work progress for years as the nuances of the newfound structure take form. But that interim period in which so many find themselves is one rich in the challenges and rewards of a grand adventure. In other words, as you're going through discovering who you really are, discovering that energy that is within you and learning how to work with that energy and how to manifest different realities for you, different experiences for you, it's a wonderful adventure. How many of you remember the first time you heard that you were spirit, that you really became aware of the spiritual world, that you took your first step into your spiritual journey? Oh my goodness, the excitement, the joy to escape this mundane world. I was looking for escape. I was so miserable and had so much pain and so much disappointment. There had to be something better. I wanted something better. I wanted to taste something that was joyful, and the spiritual journey seemed to be the answer and has been the answer for me. But every year I've just been unfolding, and I'm learning more and more, and I don't think this will ever cease. So as you go through each progressive level and each layer of vibrational density is released in the process, one is able to perceive the essence of the expanded self emerging in one's own image. The portrait is a simple one, liberated from the trappings of the false identity under which one once staggered. And the initial sense of self-recognition is accompanied by a newfound sense of peace and a profound feeling of inner harmony that intensifies as the process progresses. You're hungry for truth. You're so hungry for truth. And it excites you. It nourishes you. And you find yourself drawn to wanting only to be in your own little cubbyhole, in your own world. And you remove yourself from the world to just experience your oneness. Suddenly, your search is seemingly over as the recognition crystallizes that what had been sought has been present throughout the entire experience. So the fears of inadequacy and the feelings of reluctance to step forth attired in your true magnificence give way to a deepening sense of one's own limitlessness. And the choices begin to emerge as to how one might best enjoy expressing abilities. How many of you now, because I've been encouraging you to practice using these principles, how many of you, when you have fear rising in you, shift the energy? How many of you, when you find yourself having self-doubt and find yourself shifting the energy? I catch myself, you know, and our language and what we have been conditioned, the things that we are conditioned to say and think are all about limitation. How many of you are moving into the reality that there are no limitations? And catch yourself when you find yourself saying and thinking those things. So I had a conversation with a friend yesterday. And she's at a crossroads trying to decide, make some decisions about what to do about certain things. And one of them was about moving. And so she says, well, I could move over here. And before she said anything to finish her sentence, I reminded her, I said, remember, what you say is creating your experience. And she chuckled. And I said, why are you laughing? She says, because you find a way to integrate that. I said, because I want to catch you before you start proclaiming, you know, what your options are. Because she was putting a tremendous, time went on, we realized, or I made her aware, that she was expending a tremendous amount of energy in justifying an experience, a living condition, that she did not want to experience. But she was actually creating it at that time, simply by putting all of the fear of it and the resentment of having to make that decision, she was making it real for her, and eventually it would be an experience. And I said, you need to roll this back and only declare what it is that you want. But fear keeps you from thinking that there will be enough money to manifest your experience. And that's why it's so important to understand that it's not important about the how. What's important is how you take that energy and put your intention underneath that energy and let it go. Blow it in the wind. and so it is, and seal it with a prayer. Thank you, and so it is. And that's the end of the story. But no, not for us as humans. Well, if I don't do this, then this isn't going to happen. But if I do this, then this will happen. But, oh, and suppose such and such. And guess what? That supposition right there is creating itself. You've taken your divine energy and put it into a supposition to work against you. How many of you are practicing? I'm bringing it to remembrance. How many of you are practicing? You are wizards. You are magicians. You are one with earth, one with air, one with fire, one with water, all the elements. And you are the divine energy that controls all of it. You are the creators. And you are co-creating with the one source. Because you are just merely expressions of the one source in physical form. The resistance that may once have been anticipated is no longer perceived, hopefully. One day you'll get there, hopefully. And your experience of life takes on a new coloration of the world that at long last seems receptive to the gift you offer. It may seem as if the world has changed, because now life is saying, yes, where once your progress was challenged with every step. Yet in truth, what has changed is not the world, but your place within it. Why? Because you became aware of your divine energy. And you decide, I'm creating joy, I'm creating happiness, I'm creating my heart's desire. Nothing will stand in its way. I declare and decree, and so it is. So the world and its reactions to you are simply reflections of the energy that you project upon the screen of reality in any number of levels. And it's hard for people to say when they're in a mess and it's uncomfortable, it's hard for them to perceive that they created that mess. Because they won't be honest with themselves. They are so caught up in the matrix, in the illusion, they believe that it's someone outside of them that's causing the problem. I'm not saying that it's... they'll blame it on God, they'll blame it on the devil, they'll blame it on mama, they'll blame it on daddy, they'll blame it on friends, anything outside of self. But the moment you become aware of the divinity in you, of the magic wand within you, of the energy that can create anything without limitation within you. That energy is within you, within you, within you. Your perception changes and the world begins to reflect the truth as you perceive it. And so, yes, because guess what? The universe is always saying yes. The world is always saying yes to you. Always. Yes, Cynthia, I will create the lack and limitation that you are perceiving right now. Yes, Cynthia, I will create the disharmony between you and your husband that you are perceiving right now. yes, you have the power, and I'm going to reflect it back to you. That's what the world is saying. Yes, I'm giving you everything that you desire. Yes. And fear is on the spectrum of desire, is it not? It's the opposite polarity of faith. And didn't we learn that we have to experience the whole spectrum of a thing? All the varying degrees of a thing to get the lesson? Yes. Your own energy projection is mirrored back upon you as an affirmation. The pure energy of positive response resonates exponentially as it is reflected by you upon others with whom you interact, thereby reinforcing the energy each contributes to the whole. As each adds his piece to the energetic equation, the highest possible experience can be realized by all who participate in the exchange. And you will find that you gravitate toward interactions with beings who resonate at comparable levels to your own. If you're on this spiritual journey, if you are calling into Circles of Prosperity, if you're listening to Circles of Prosperity, it's because you want to be around like minds. You want to be around people who are on this journey with you, who are understanding this spiritual journey with you. And all of us, as this group, are contributing to the experience. And we can all raise the vibration together. It is obvious that one is rarely able to cloister oneself and limit one's interactions to the relative few who share one's orientation. And life takes on the challenges of being in the world, yet not of the world. Because one begins to recognize the vibrational distancing that exists amongst those with whom you share your day-to-day experience. Christians say they are lost. You have people around you, they're just lost. I'd prefer to say that they're not lost. That they're just unaware of their divinity. And that's why I can look at these people and say I love them. I'm sure that's how Jesus would say, Lord, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. They don't know how powerful they are. They don't know how magnificent they are. So why are you going to be angry with your brother? There's absolutely no reason to be angry with anyone because they don't know what they're doing. They don't know how they're misusing their power. But you are aware, and therefore you have to shift the vibration and shift it in what Dr. Reggie declared in his prayer. You have to shift it in love. One need make no apology for your newfound reluctance to engage in activities and interactions that have come to be expected by you by others, because now there is simply not the inclination to participate in group situations that once seemed enjoyable. You might have been smoking pot with your friends, and now all of a sudden that doesn't fulfill you anymore. It's okay. You might have been a nightclubber, and you don't want to go there anymore. Because they are all seeking something, but you have found something. You're not seeking anymore. You found it. Now you want to just have a deeper understanding. One comes to regard one's own company as profoundly gratifying. You like yourself. You love yourself. You love being with you. How many of you are afraid of just being alone? just always got to have some kind of activity going on, be around some people, talking to some people. If it's quiet, you just cannot be alone. You're never alone. You're one with oneness. Enjoy it. It's a luxury. Especially if you have kids or other responsibilities. You've got a job. You've got, you know, if you have any alone time whatsoever, what a blessing. You want to become attuned to your own inner world because it is your sanctuary. There may be a tendency to distance yourself and to create a vibrational buffer and a self-protective mechanism that you adopt instinctively. And the reason you're withdrawing is because you really need to practice. You really need to know the impact of all of this. You're not ready to go out in the world and be around these people because all of this is so new to you, and you love the way it feels, but you haven't really learned to maneuver it. It's like when you get on a bicycle and you have your training wheels. You know, when you first learn to ride a bike, I never understood training wheels anyway, but you know, and they wobble from side to side. Because it's trying to teach you how to balance on two wheels. And so if you go over too far, it keeps you from falling over, you know, the training wheels. But eventually, you don't need the training wheels. So that seclusion time is where you're working with your training wheels. But eventually you have to reintegrate into the world. And this is where judgment comes into play, which is our lesson for today. For until you become adept at stabilizing the accelerating levels of vibration, you are susceptible to the variations in vibrational frequency with which you are surrounded, and the extremes of experience that can result. Okay, you put yourself out there too fast before you really understand how this energy thing works, then you're going to get sucked into some situations that you don't really want to be in. And then you have to work through those situations. So you become acutely aware of the effects of certain environments and certain individuals upon one's manifestation of a life experience. And then you begin to make choices that others may consider radical. Like you start cutting people off. And your family may not understand it, but you're moving into that protective mode, okay? But the momentum becomes one of scaling down one life and simplifying the scenarios in which you choose to be present. And that momentum, when left to ascend to its own natural level of stabilization, will carry you to a place wherein you can begin to realize your potential to manifest your highest expression of who you truly are. And there is no doubt that when you are in the state of centeredness, that what will be forthcoming in your physical reality is the highest expression of possibility for you. So let go of the need to control the process. And allow the process to guide you ever deeper into a connectedness with levels of heightened awareness. Because when one is in this state, one's abilities to manifest and to experience are able to flow unimpeded. And the experience of physical reality becomes one of sustained levels of delight. Delight and wonder. Let it flow. What is it that I tell you all the time? Let it go. Let the troubles go. Let the worry go. Let the fear go. Let the doubt go. And just let oneness flow through you. Let that divine energy flow through you. Because here's what happens. Once you have tasted this heightened state of beingness expressed in your physical form, you grow increasingly reluctant to jeopardize that vibration, that foundation. You don't want anything to disrupt it. And so at this stage, you need to develop a mindset that's focused on the maintenance of this high level of energy, this maintenance of this connection of your awareness of the divine energy that is flowing through you. And I will tell you, I am so blessed because my husband is in that state all the time. And what amazes me is how he moves through this world, interfacing with so many different people, ministering and teaching so many different people at different levels, and always maintaining his divine awareness. It has kept me with him trying to figure out how he does it. It is the most amazing thing. And that's why I said this man is the only walking man on earth that I am aware of that is always in his divinity. My father, which we took care of for 3 years, he called me in his room one day and he said, "Sit down, I want to say something to you, and I don't think you're ready to hear it." And I said, "Okay." My dad always had a lot of drama with him whenever he was going to say something profound. And he says to me, "I don't think you know who Reggie is." And I said, "Well, who is he?" He says, "I don't think you're ready to hear it." I said, "I've probably heard it before, Dad. What do you think?" He said, "Well, he's not like other men." I said, "Okay." And then there's more drama now. Just hold on to your hat because I don't know if you're ready to hear this. I said, "Go ahead, Dad, tell me." He said, "Well, he's like Jesus." And I looked at him and I smiled and I said, "I know." And his eyes popped back and his mouth went wide open. He says, "You do?" I said, "Yes." And I said, "You know what's so amazing? So many people have said that to me. But how many of us have really met Jesus? And how do we know? Doesn't that tell you something about our spirits? That we are all aware of this divinity. We recognize it in the one that came to demonstrate it to us. Never met the man in our lives. None of us in this generation met Jesus in this lifetime. But we know the Spirit. We know the truth. We recognize the truth. But choose to deny it every day. Wow. So, they say one begins to crystallize in one's awareness that what once may have been perceived as negativity or density. In other words, if you're out in the world and you're around people that don't quite resonate with you anymore because you are aware, then you think of it as negative. Right, which is a judgment, and thus have been rejected. You reject it and you avoid it, in fact, no more than a reflection of your own state of beingness. Guess what? That which you are judging is a reflection of what's in you. It is a mirror of what's in you. The vibratory essence of a vision is not sustained by the vision itself, but rather is a mirror of one's perception of it. Remember, we started this lesson talking about what? How did we start this lesson? That the sum total of all that you are, all that you perceive, and all that you do is a manifestation of energy that is experienced and expressed as form. But at its root is energy. And then it comes back to tell you that whatever you vision you see, whatever you are perceiving, is only a mirror of what is within you. It is your perception reflecting back to you. So your attitudes and your biases come into play here and form the foundation of the levels of vibration of all one experiences as reality, and thus how those perceptions affect you as energy. So, how many of you walk into a room and you feel the energy in the room and you feel that it's tense? That's your perception. There's something in you that's tense because that room is mirroring back what you are perceiving, the judgment that you are placing on it. What if you walk in that room and feel nothing but love and peace? That is a reflection. It's mirroring back to you that which is within you, your perception. So I walk in a room and I'm feeling tense and negative energy. Dr. Reggie walks in a room and all he sees is, he feels is love. And if you're ever around Dr. Reggie, you know it's smiles, it's laughter, it's jokes. That's his perception of everything. Joy. Ultimately, when you perceive an image that you interpret as external to your own being, and you recoil at the sight, you are not reacting to what is inherent in the image itself, but rather to your own attitudes as judgment. Tomorrow we're going to move into shifting out of that judgment, so that we can shift the energy and shift our experience. Dr. Reggie, can you take us into our closing prayer this morning?
Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful lesson in truth and in knowing that we are truth. The core being of who we are is you. Let our hearts reflect back into the environment the joyful energy of love and playfulness as children. We came here not to be burdened and saddened and depressed and joyless, but to be joyful and happy and loving as children, following the commandment of let the children come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. We are the kingdom of heaven within. Hopefully our outside influences don't stimulate sadness and sorrow, but a joy of knowing in ourselves that nothing is finally over. Nothing is finally done until we say it is. We are the orchestrator of this life and the finisher of our faith. And we thank you for the majesty and the creation and the idealizing of whatever we want. It will be done unto us according to our belief and our faith. We move and have our being in a consciousness beyond this realm, a Christed consciousness, one that's anointed, one that's a mantle that we wear on us willingly. It's not forced. We never use a forced energy, but simply allow it to be what it is. And we move through this expression easily and with joy and effortlessly. We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. Thank you. We'll be here tomorrow. I love you as God loves you.